Good morning, family. Shalom. So, talking about praying with the names of God. So, what is a name? When I was a student nurse, I was Nurse Payne. Going on to a men's surgical ward one morning, the men, seeing my name, said, "Oh, don't come near us. We don't want pain." So, it conjured up fear and dread to them. My sister spoke at my wedding saying, "I've been so blessed these last few days because today Grace has changed her name from Pain." And everybody laughed. But we have taken on the name of Jesus because we have believed in our hearts that God raised him from the dead and we are saved. We have confessed with our mouths the Lord Jesus, and we belong to him. Acts 4:12 says, "There's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." And we've just sung some of the Hebrew names of God and their meanings found in the Old Testament. So we'll look at these first and later come to the name of Jesus again. Yahweh. God has only one name, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, or Yahweh in Hebrew. The Jews do not pronounce it because of its holiness. They substitute it as Adonai, my Lord. In Greek, it is Jehovah. In most translations where you see Lord, with capital letters, it's Yahweh, or in the Jewish Bible, Adonai, or in the Message, is God with capital letters, your God. Where you see Lord with a capital L, the Hebrew is Adonai, and where you see God with a capital G, the Hebrew is Elohim. Elohim is plural and is seen all through Genesis 1, the Creator. He is three in one and the one in three, God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In your Bibles, if you see the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, capital A for angel and capital L for Lord, it's always a Christophany, or an appearance of Jesus, as to Abraham, Hagar, Jacob, Moses, maybe others. Through the Old Testament, God is given many names because he wants us to know who he is and what he's like, his attributes and his character. God is omnipotent. He's the all-powerful, the unlimited one. I love that word, unlimited. Revelation 19:6 says, "The Lord God omnipotent reigns." He is omniscient. He's the all-knowing one. And he is omnipresent, present everywhere at the same time. Are you with me so far? Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." Abraham was about to sacrifice his son Isaac in obedience to God. But God provided a ram as a substitute. What was to be provided in the Mount of the Lord, Mount Moriah, Calvary's mountain? God's own, only Son, Jesus, for whom there was no substitute. He was the sacrifice to remove our sins. Jesus had said to his Father, "Your will be done." And God had provided a complete and eternal salvation for all who come to him. And Philippians 4:19 says, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Jehovah Rapha, the Lord your healer. The Lord said, "If you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." Psalm 103, verse 3, says, "The Lord who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases." How? Isaiah 53, verse 5. "By his stripes, by Jesus' stripes, we are healed." 1 Peter 2, verse 24 says, "By whose stripes you were healed." In the Hebrew, there are what I call living verbs. And this is one of them. Were healed, are being healed, will be healed. Do you get it? And there's other Hebrew words like hearing, God hearing us. He has heard us, he is hearing us, and he will hear us. They're wonderful words in Hebrew. Jehovah Makedesh, the Lord our sanctifier. "I am the Lord who makes you holy." That's amazing, isn't it? Yeah. Exodus 31, verse 13 says, "I am the Lord who sanctifies you." God was commanding the children of Israel to keep the Sabbath. And we keep Sunday to worship the Lord and to remember that it is the Lord who sanctifies us, who sets us apart, who purifies us from sin. Remember, we are in this world, but not of it. Each seventh day is also to remind us of the great seventh day of 1,000 years to come, the millennium, when Jesus will reign as king over all the earth. Hallelujah. Ezekiel 20, verse 12 says, Also, I gave them my Sabbaths as a sign between us, so they would know that I, the Lord, made them holy. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We all know this psalm and can pray it as we talk to God. Isaiah 40, verse 10 and 11 says, "Behold, the Lord God will come. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom and shall lead those that are with young." That's beautiful, isn't it? Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner. Moses built an altar and called it, "The Lord is my banner." He said, "For hands were lifted up to the throne of the Lord, and the Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generation." And it started with, "Then came Amalek, Israel's persistent enemy." This is a type or a picture of the flesh or our sin nature in the believer. Galatians 5:1 says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." You know, all the things that we can be bound with, nail biting, drink, all the other things, you know. Moses was watching the battle and praying, while the other two were holding up his arms steadily and supporting one another in prayer till the victory is won. I think that's so wonderful. We need to help one another, to pray for one another when one's going through a trial, and see the victory together. Amen? Amen. Isaiah 59, verse 17 says, "When the enemy comes in, comma, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a banner, a standard against him." And the Song of Songs 2, verse 4 says, "His banner over me is love." That's lovely, isn't it? However, my sin nature fails, but God forgives and cleanses me. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. Judges 6. You can read the whole of chapter 6. It's wonderful about Gideon. So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it, "The Lord is peace." Gideon was in great fear because he'd seen the angel of the Lord and thought he would die. He cried out to the Lord, who answered him, "Peace, do not be afraid. You are not going to die." So Gideon built the altar to the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. "May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through." Stop there. Yes. In other words, just trust God. "Again and again, I have proved this peace by checking my heart. And if it's not disturbed, I've been able to trust God instead of worrying oneself sick over disturbing news." And another thing one can do when you get some bad news, just pray in tongues until that peace comes and see God move, all right? Philippians 4:7, "The peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So our mind gets in the way sometimes, doesn't it? Jehovah Tzidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. Romans 3:22 says, the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Jesus Christ, upon all them that believe, being justified freely by this grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. This is the name of the city of our God, described in Ezekiel and also in Revelations chapter 21. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. I haven't finished yet, but I want to just pray, okay? Oh, Father, you also dwell in the heart of every child of God. May we never, ever doubt that you are always there for us. Amen. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. What a comfort that is, isn't it? Now, I've just got a little testimony to share. I was in a plane flying from Israel to Heathrow with a young Orthodox teacher next to me. She told me how scared of flying she was and needed to read her Siddur prayer book. I found in my Bible Isaiah 43 and pointed to verse 2. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you, and the rivers, they shall never overflow you, and it goes on. So she studied it for a while. So I commented that I knew it was not the clouds. She spoke up and said, yes, it is. God separated the waters on the earth from the waters in the heavens. Because that's in Genesis 1. I think that clinched it for her, and the fear left the plane. Now we must look at Abba, Father. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Isaiah also speaks of God being their Father in Isaiah 63 and 64. The first mention of love in the Bible is in Genesis 22, verse 2, between Abraham and his son Isaac. This is a relationship with God, and it's a love relationship. God is love, agape, love. The Spirit himself bears witness with our own spirit that we are children of God, his sons and daughters. Jesus always prayed, Father. It was only on Calvary's tree where he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why? Because he bore all our sin upon him, and our holy God could not look upon sin. He had to turn away. The relationship we have with our Father God is one of awe and respect, intimacy, obedience, and delight. He loves to hear us call to him. Jesus teaches us to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven." Matthew 6:26 says, "Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are we not much more of value than they?" John, in his first epistle, says, "Truly our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ." That's lovely fellowship, isn't it? El Roi is from Ra'a to see, because it sounds a bit like the shepherd one, doesn't it? "The Lord who sees me." Hagar gave this name to the Lord, who spoke to her, "You are the God who sees me." Hagar had run away from Sarah when she was pregnant because Sarah dealt hardly with her. And the angel of the Lord found her in the desert and said, "The Lord has heard your affliction." So she called the name of the Lord, "You are the God who sees me." Let's just read a few verses from Psalm 33. "The Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. From the place of his dwelling he looks. On all the inhabitants of the earth he fashions their hearts individually. He considers all their works. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy." So he's watching us all the time. Thank you, Lord. There are many more Old Testament names of God than the few I have shared. There are a few more in your green books. All his names are great to use when exalting God in worship and prayer, and they'll strengthen our faith. Jesus too has names in the Old Testament. He is the Wonderful Counselor, the Prince of Peace, the Branch, Shiloh. And Messiah in the Hebrew is the same as Christ in the Greek. And the meaning is the Anointed One. I'm sure you all know that. Isaiah 7:14 says, "They shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us." And those are all in the Old Testament. So now I'm going to just talk about Jesus for a few minutes, all right? When we pray, we speak to our Father by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. John 5:43 says, "Jesus says, I am come in my Father's name." And in John 14:26, he says, "The Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name. So I'll say that again. He says, "The Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name." Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all titles, aren't they? Amy Carmichael said, "We don't come to the Father in our own name. We come in the name of his beloved Son. God's ear is always open to that name. Satan is more afraid of our prayers than our works." Colossians 3:17 says, "Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." In Acts alone, there are 27 references recording the apostles' use of the name of Jesus. They prayed, baptized, healed, daily preached and taught, delivered from demons, did signs and wonders, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Jesus rose triumphant from death and the grave to be our saviour from sin, sickness, bondage, shame, guilt, condemnation. Amen. The shedding of his blood completed the work and finished it. In his name we can ask whatever he wills, and it shall be done. When we pray, do we believe or only hope there will be an answer? I feel very challenged on that one. Jesus himself said to his disciples in Matthew 28:18, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Philippians 2:9 says, "God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name." So, as we start this year focusing our hearts to a more powerful prayer life, let us deepen our walk in the truth of the Word of God and see what God will do in our lives individually, but also together. Amen.